Father, we just come before you, and now we ask that you would release the grace that we need to see and hear what your Spirit is speaking to us in Jesus' name. And those of you who have your Bible, don't go away from James. You're just going to go a little deeper into it. That's all. Just go to James chapter 3. Because on my way in, the Lord said, your attitude will determine your altitude. So look at your neighbor, say, get ready for a new attitude. Amen. Amen. It will determine your altitude. A lot of times, you know, we blame everybody else for what's going on wrong. A lot of times it has a lot to do with our emotions, how we act and react. And then sometimes it's to disagree with someone in a polite way and just walk away. Sometimes keeping your mouth shut is going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. But your opinion might not be valued. Also, very much learning that my attitude will determine my altitude. Okay? How I live my life in front of you and how I live it behind you sometimes can be two different things. Depending on where I am and what I'm doing. How much self-satisfaction am I looking for in order to survive the test I'm in? Well, nobody will know. Until the Lord shows up. And he sees you with a couple of fig leaves in front of you. And you forgot that he can see right through them. Okay? See, you're not answering to me. You're answering to him. And what I've learned is that my mouth can get me into a lot of trouble. So that's why we're going to James 3.
I agree.
Not many of you should become teachers. And I'm using the Amplified.
Okay,
James chapter 3. James chapter 3. That's why I said don't run away from James, because you already got a lesson from the Holy Ghost using James 1. Now I want you to go to chapter 3. Verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, self-constituted censors, and reprovers of others. If you listen to just that, you're going to have a real wake-up call. If you're not the official one to reprove everyone, you might have a chance about gaining wisdom. The person that you should be working on is you. My brethren, for you know that we will be judged by a higher standard and with greater severity than other people. Thus we assume the greater accountability and the more condemnation. For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong thing, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. If we set bits in a horse's mouth to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at a ship. Though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it can boast of great things. See how much wood, or how great a forest fire, or a forest, a tiny spark can set ablaze. The tongue is a fire. Verse 6 is very, very important. If you don't understand your tongue being a fire, you need to awaken to that truth. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body. Contaminating and depraving the whole body and setting on fire the wheel of birth. That's why I took the Amplified, because the NIV doesn't have that wheel of birth in there. And it's the cycle of man's nature. And then the next level is very important. It's being ignited, or being itself ignited by hell, or Gehenna. So your mouth is under the inspiration of hell most of the time because you're running on emotions. And you should be running on the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit has a better set of coordinates. And if you just shut your mouth, you'll stop a lot of procedures from happening to you. How many have ever received a healing from the Lord? How many have also lost the same healing from the Lord? Why? Because you open your mouth. Through your mouth, you can start declaring what the symptoms are, because you're feeling rotten. And instead of declaring what the truth that you were healed, you go by the emotion and the feelings. And that's the trap that is set up to pull you down. And then you've got the accuser who says, well, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were healed. And he accuses until you recommit your mouth to the new level of deception. The caution light is this. If you humble yourself, you will be able to get back. But if you're not teachable, you're in for a rough ride. And, you know, I'm not trying to be critical of anyone, because I'm talking to myself first. I'm not trying to contaminate you. I am trying to awaken you that your mouth can either build or destroy. Okay? Verse 7 says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea animal, can be tamed and has been tamed by human genius. But the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is an undisciplined, irreconcilable, restless evil, full of death and bringing poison. Where? Where does the poison go? Inside of you and inside of anyone else. Depending on who you're talking to. And if you've got attitude that you're perfect and everyone else needs to adjust to make you comfy, I've got news for you. You are in trouble. Because life ahead is going to be extremely difficult. How many have ever met somebody that was totally perfect? Come on, put your hand up. You must have at least met one person that's totally perfect. In their eyes, they are perfect. Amen? And in their concept of judging and condemning, if you don't match their coordinates,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Got a couple in our house.
Your couple in your house, okay. Well, I'm glad you got a couple.
Never met a single one.
It's good. Then you got a wake up call coming.
Yeah.
Maybe you need the adjustment.
I don't doubt that.
I'm teasing. Hear me now when I'm saying this to you. See, the Holy Spirit wants you to come to freedom. And this chapter can change you from a natural man to a spiritual man. Hear me? It can change you if you make the Word of God the official in your heart. That's His goal. The Holy Spirit wants to change each of us. But He can't do it without your permission. Okay? So, verse 9. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who were made in God's likeness. You better really think about what that says. Out of your mouth, you're worshiping, you're giving thanks, and on your way home, you're criticizing everybody that didn't behave the way you think. Out of the same mouth comes forth blessings and cursings. These things, my brethren, ought not to be so. Does a fountain send forth simultaneously from the same opening fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine figs? Neither can a salt spring furnish fresh water. Who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him, by his noble living, if you haven't got that underlined, it should be. It's by your living the noble life that you will be an example that others will actually awaken, not by your mouth. I've seen people going around and they profess to be Christians, and I'll tell you, if I was anything like them, I'd want to move out of town. Because they are uncomfortable to be around. Come on, am I the only one? Watch verse 13. Who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him by his noble living show forth his good work with the unobtrusive humility, which is the proper attitude of true wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, envy and contention, rivalry and selfish ambition in your heart, do not pride yourself on it and thus be defiant. Be in defiance of and false to the truth. This superficial wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual. I love the word animal, which refers to the beast. Even devilish or demoniacal. Tough tongue twister, right? For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and a vile practice. But verse 17 should have a circle on it for you. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, undefiled. Then it is peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. It is willing to yield to reason. Willing to yield to reason. Full of compassion and good fruit. It is wholehearted and straightforward, impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts. I love this part. Free from doubts and wavering and insincerity. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God, will in thought and deed in and is the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves. Notice it's in themselves first. And in others as a byproduct. That is that peace which means concord, agreement, harmony between individuals with undisturbedness in a peaceful mind, free from the fears and agitations and passions and moral conflict. Now, I've given you the whole chapter, but I want to add a couple of scriptures to confirm you to a little higher spiritual mind. Romans 8:6 says, the mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. 1 Corinthians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. Who knows the mind of Christ? Who knows it? You're supposed to definitely take a grab at it. Philippians 2:5 says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. So your attitude is going to determine your altitude. And your attitude is up to you. There are people who are going to disagree with you all your way through life. There are people who are going to try to pressure in and tell you how to live. I'm not telling you how to live. He's telling you how to live. Do I have this perfect? Absolutely not. Am I better than I was yesterday? Yes. My ability to grow as I submit myself to be teachable. And you know who's going to teach me most of the time? Those that haven't got a clue, they're teaching me. Because those that are puffed up and pushy, you know what I take their information in? I put it in my back pocket and I sit on it. Because that's where it belongs. Pushy people have attitude. They're not teaching you the Word of God. They're teaching you their attitude to keep you from growing. They're hoping that you will start groaning and complaining. And while you're groaning and complaining, you've joined their club. So what's the seduction for? The seduction is designed to destroy you. If you live above it, your altitude will keep on going higher. You can respect their decision. You can respect their words. You can say, yes, fine. It's your opinion. But don't have to agree. You do not have to agree. And the higher you go in the realm of the spirit, the more they're going to attempt to pull you down. So you've got to make a decision who your Lord is. Is it them or you in your relationship with the Lord? Some people bow to everybody around the neighborhood. And every phone call is more important than the Word of God. And the opinions of men rule their hearts. And I'm not picking on men or women here. I'm telling you the general motivation. But this chapter can change your life if you take it seriously. This one chapter can open your mouth to bring life instead of death, to bring healing in your body instead of hopelessness. And it was written 2,000 years ago, and God hasn't changed his mind. So would you do me a favor, please? Would you put one hand over your heart and close your eyes? Say, Lord Jesus, I know I can't do this on my own. I admit it. I need your help. I need your grace. I can't even learn it by heart. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to let you, by your Holy Ghost, bring it back into my heart when I need it, in the middle of a crisis. I'll learn to be quiet and to respect their decision, but not to agree that it's going to affect me. And I don't need to speak that out loud to disturb the neighbor. I can be an example of peace and of compassion and grace. And when they get good and jealous, they're going to say, I want what you got. And the life of Christ will be ready to be given away. By me. For them. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Get ready to fly higher. Tell your neighbor, get ready to fly higher.
Get ready to fly higher.
Amen.